You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and you are the Ancient of Days. You're our Father, you're our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Provider. We ask you, Almighty God, to just pour your Spirit out upon us today. And Lord, if you would take your word and the instructions of your Son, Jesus, and how we're to intercede, how we're to plead, how we're to pray, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts today and instruct us and guide us and equip us, and please open your word to us and illuminate it. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and ask you to fall upon this place today. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, to cover all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, turn and greet everybody, fist pump, wave, whatever you're doing these days, give them a big greeting. Very good. Please be seated. At the end of our service last week, we had a faithful couple in the life of our church. They approached me and they said the Lord's laid on their heart. They have a little waterfront property, 2 or 3 acres, and they said they wanted to donate it to our project, the 76 project. They estimate that it's probably worth between $30,000 to $40,000. And we praise the Lord for that. Can we give the Lord an amen? And do want to encourage you, as many of our sister churches have done through the years, if you have like-kind gifts that you would like to give to the project, maybe jewelry or appreciated stocks or whatever, some other things, vehicle or whatever, just pray about that. And if the Lord lays on your heart, let the office know, and we'll instruct you what to do with those things and how to turn that into money for the kingdom and an investment in eternity. When we met with the Florida Baptist Financial Ministries, they did tell us that when we invest in the kingdom of God, Jesus said that there's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. 30-fold is 3,000%, 60-fold is 6,000%, and 100-fold is 10,000%. So that's pretty good return on your investment. Amen? Amen. So I want to encourage you to be in prayer about that. A few announcements for you, if I can find my cell, which I can. First of all, if you would look inside and tear out if you're our guest today, we're glad you're here. Hope this will become your family, your church home. If you'll fill this out, place it in the offering plate, it'll help us to minister to you. And then also we've got a Christian school. One of our fundraisers for the Christian school is Christmas trees and wreaths, fresh from up north. In fact, if you keep the water on them, they may even bloom and sprout some pine cones. I don't know. They're very, very fresh. So if you would, just fill these out and see them in the lobby. Turn those in after the service if you'd like to place an order for any of the things that are available through that. And then also, we've got a few other things. Our life groups, want to encourage you to take part in our life groups. It's the best way to get to know the life of the church and our families in the church and the small group setting where you can discuss scripture, ask questions, apply it to your life. And then also, we've got some other things, our Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes. Shay and Kim and I had the opportunity several years ago to go to one of the warehouses, regional warehouses, I think it was in Georgia, and to pack these boxes into big boxes. And we did that one evening, or maybe we did two sessions, one evening and the next morning. And what a blessing. You need to realize that these boxes, when they go to the different third world countries, that becomes literally the prize only possessions of some of these children, most of these children all over the world. The toothbrush, this, that, the little doll, the whatever you put in there, that is their one and only, and they hold those things and cherish them the rest of their life. And we're seeing hundreds of thousands give their life to Jesus every year because of that ministry. So I want to encourage you to pray about that and be involved in that as well. And then be in prayer about our Christmas musical coming up. Pray for that. And do you still need some more singers, Andrew?
Yeah, if they want to join, like this week.
This week.
That'd be great. Yeah.
And that would be
today at 1:30.
Today at 1:30.
Yep. So Elon's coming back. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And we do have some new folks that are flooding in. Well, trickling in.
Trickling.
Yep. Trickling. Okay. Trickling in, so I want to encourage you to take part in that as well and be a part of it. And then there's also our MOPS ministry there. If you'll look at that information, if you're a mother of a preschooler, and praise the Lord. So we're going to observe the Lord's Supper at this time and want to encourage you to pray and prepare your heart as God's instructed us to do in Corinthians for his supper. And he says we're not to partake of it unworthily. And through the last 2,000 years, there are believers that have actually passed away prematurely from partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. So I want to encourage you to take part in that and prepare your hearts for this as we partake of the supper. Before we hand it out, let's bow for a word of prayer. And just for a moment of silence, ask the Lord to search your heart, show you anything in your life that displeases him, and if you would, just confess it to him. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and ask you to search our hearts, try our hearts, see if there be any wicked thing in us that displeases you. We pray, Lord, you reveal any fleshly desires, our motives, our selfishness, anything in our life that is contrary to you and your will and your spirit. Lord, if there's some people that we need to ask forgiveness of, I ask you, Lord, to speak to hearts about that. If there's anything that's been taken unjustly, for that to be returned or recompensed. And Lord, we just want to ask you to speak to our hearts in a supernatural way and help us, Lord, to be clean and clear before you as we partake of your Son's supper today. In Jesus' name, amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." David, would you lead us in prayer for the bread?
Dear Jesus, we come before you and thank you for the sacrifices made on our behalf. We thank you for the willingness to take all our pain and suffering. I ask that you remind us through the week so we can be a witness for you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Gary, would you lead us in prayer for the juice?
Our kind Heavenly Father, as we think about how you suffered upon that cross for the salvation of our sins, we ask, Lord, that you would bless this juice as it goes through our body, that it would wash those sins away that we have done in the past. Ask this all in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Pray with me, please, over the offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. But this morning, think we're especially thankful for this wonderful weather that you've given us, and these, some saints and some faces that we hadn't seen for so long coming back to town and to gather in your name to hear your word spoken amongst your saints is a great gift, and we thank you for it. Father, please bless this offering and those who offer it to you, Father, and help us to be bold in our spirit and our witness everywhere we go. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have two prayer requests I want to share with you before we begin the service. We want to pray for two of our members. Larry Hughes is in the hospital. I think he's at South with pneumonia. So he's our life group director. So if we could be in prayer, if you'll pray with me as I pray for him. And then also Joe Snipes is having some excruciating problems with her left knee. And we need to pray for that, for the Lord to intervene there and touch her. So if you would bow with me in prayer, let's pray for him. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you that you hear all of our requests. And we want to ask you, dear God, corporately, if two or three agree, touching anything here on earth, it'll be done in heaven. And we ask you, Almighty God, if you would just to touch Larry Hughes and take this congestion from him, remove this sickness from him. And we pray for Joe, dear God, that you'd just touch her knee. And if you would, Lord, to realign it, reinforce it, heal it, and take her pain away. And Father, again, we just want to tell you we love you. We commit these requests to you publicly to see you extend your strong hand in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know, we're looking at foundations. We're concluding today and segment two on prayer. And we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer today. So I'd like for us again to quote it together. Now, I memorized it King James Version years ago, and I'm going to quote it that way, no matter what they put up on the screen. So you can go with that, or you can go, how many of you have memorized it King James style, okay? Looks like a lot. So either way, follow along. I think, have y'all found it from last week? I know you put it up last week. If you can, bring that up on the screen. There we go. Thank you. Let's give Margaret a hand. Amen? Okay. Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sweet. If you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, let's get the prelude to it. I know I've delineated the notes, primarily the prayer, but let's begin in verse 1. The Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's teaching them. And one of the things we need to know, and we'll delineate that now, is the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer specifically to be prayed, although I know the Catholic Church has prescribed it for centuries as a prayer to be prayed. In actuality, the context, and you'll see that, is not exactly what's happening here, and this is reiterated in the other Gospels. But beginning in verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles or the nations do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need. Therefore, when you ask, before you ask him, pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, here we see in the other settings, in the Synoptic Gospels, the four Gospels, we see in other cases this same scenario from different disciples' viewpoints. And in one of the instances, we see where the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And so we see in this that the context is, this is instruction. And then he says, even in this particular Matthew's account of it, we see that he says, pray then in this way. So this is instructional. And he's talking about some elements of it that are to be a pattern possibly, or at least an illustration of how we're to pray. And so let's look at these, and then we'll talk just a little bit more about prayer specifically. First of all, address who you're speaking to. The Father. He says, Our Father who art in heaven. And isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus says, Our Father. So that's Jesus including us with him. He's our brother in the co-inheritance. The Lord Jesus, when he shares his inheritance with us, we become co-inheritors with him. And he is saying our Father. He's saying his Father, and he's saying our Father. And I love the account in the Gospels when he's talking about the succession of belief, where he says, Father, you've given me the disciples. I haven't lost any of them. I've kept them. I'm teaching them what you instructed me to teach them. And I want to pray also, Jesus said, for those who will believe because of what they say and what they do. And in that prayer, he includes us. Here in 2,000 years after the disciples, he's including us. And so we are a part of this big our Father, our Holy Father, our great Father who's in heaven. We're a part of this family. Now, we need to recognize when we pray, a lot of people don't distinguish about who they're praying to. Some people pray the Holy Spirit. Some people pray to Jesus. Many do pray to the Father. But it's important for you to distinguish who you're talking to in your prayers. Now, years ago, one of our great missionaries, Bertha Smith, she was a part of the Shantung Province revival in China years ago. And at that time, they saw hundreds of thousands of Chinese give their heart and life to Christ before the Boxer Revolution, before communism took over China, just right at that point before. And they literally said farmers were in the field dropping to the ground, repenting, giving their heart and life to Christ. There's illustrations in Dr. Charlie Culpepper's memoirs, who was with Bertha Smith there. And he said that they were over these two schools, a girls' school and a boys' school. The girls' school had 900 girls in it. The boys' school had 600 boys in it. And they had been struggling for years trying to win them to Christ and not being successful. And then through their prayer, this tremendous revival came, and they said in a matter of a few weeks, about 800 of the 900 girls and about 550 of the 600 boys gave their life to Christ in their chapels, falling on their faces, weeping, repenting. And they saw this going on all over that area of China. Well, Bertha was one of the great, great prayer warriors in the history of our missions for the Southern Baptist Convention. And Bertha Smith also discipled some of our great Bible teachers that we've had in the history of our convention. Peter Lord, Jack Taylor, Dudley Hall, Manly Beasley, many of these great men of faith. And they were like little boys with her when she would instruct them and disciple him. And I remember one time hearing Manly Beasley talking about praying with Miss Bertha. And he said, here we are in a prayer meeting. We're praying before a great Bible conference. And some of the speakers together with her, we're actually kneeling because she insisted that they kneel. And they're kneeling and praying. And Manly says, I'm praying and I pray to God the Father. I pray to Jesus. And Miss Bertha halts, stops me. Manly, get your Trinity right. Who are you praying to? And specified to him, you be sure you're praying to who you should be praying to in the proper way. And was discipling them always. So we need to recognize that when we're praying, who are we talking to? Now, I will tell you in Scripture, I don't see any prayers in the New Testament that are addressed to the Holy Spirit. Praying to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as the blessed third person of the Trinity, is our intercessor. He is our paraclete. He is our encourager, our comforter, director, guider, and he strengthens us. But he is the intercessor. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit interprets our prayers to God. But I defy any of you after the service to come show me a prayer to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. I'd like to see it. But we see that we do see prayers that are occasionally to Jesus and mostly to God the Father. And so we need to recognize that. And here we see the Lord Jesus saying, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father. Now, he could have said, as God in the flesh, you can pray to me. And we can pray to him. And there are some prayers addressed to Jesus. But primarily, God the Father. Secondly, we're to adore him as we speak to him. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. That is the Hebrew word hagios. And the word means separate from, separated, apart from. Now, one of the big problems in the apostasy of the world today is the world sees God as some doddering old man like George Burns in heaven. And he is not. He is a consuming fire, a whirlwind, a tumult that you can't imagine. God Almighty, the Holy One of the ages. He can be a terror. And we're to respect him and stand in awe of him. And we're not to be thinking of him as this familiar term. Now, he loves us. He's patient. He's kind. He's generous. He's all of that. But he is also a fierce warrior. And a stern, absolute judge. He is those things as well. Hallowed, holy be thy name. Holy be thy name. And if there's ever been a need for anything in churches, especially here in the United States, which is where we live, it's the need for holiness. We are just living in sewage, and we are trying to bring the Holy One down, and we can't. We will not touch him. We will not stain him. He is holy, separate from, separated. And that's what it means to be holy as a Christian. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of hearing Christians use profanity, professing Christians. There's a couple of them, a couple of guys now that cuss like sailors that I still interact with occasionally. And I'm going to try to win them to Christ again. The Lord's convicted my heart to really try to bring them to true repentance, because Jesus said, how can a fountain spew forth bitter and sweet water at the same time? If you leave here today and your weekday life is filled with profanity, you need to check your salvation. Can I hear an amen? I'm tired of it, really. I've thought about breaking relationships with some over that, but the Lord just keeps laying on my heart, and I'm going to really go after them because I think time is limited. I'm going to be very direct, so I might be able to either win them or I'll break that carnal relationship, one of the two. But holy is his name. He is holy. And we need to love and respect him that way and honor him and recognize him for his holiness. And Jesus said that. Holy be his name. In James chapter 5, verse 13, we see the scriptures talk about, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. And we need to honor him and adore him and sing praises to him in that way. Number three, acknowledge his authority. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He's not suggesting it's going to be done. Thy will be done. I'd like that to be the theme in every one of our hearts the rest of our life here on earth. I'd like it to be my theme. I'm working on that. Lord, thy will be done. Whatever you want done, call on me. I'll do it. It's already yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll do it. And I want to encourage you to take the same posture with him. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? That's what Jesus said. Do the things he says. Yes, Lord, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. He has all authority. We don't have the right to negotiate that away. I love that about my spiritual father, Adrian Rogers. When we were struggling in the Southern Baptist Convention over the liberalism and the departure from the historicity of Scripture, and some of our godly pastors, patriarchs, were standing up and saying, no, let's put an end to this. And for the first time in 2,000 years of church history, a major mainline movement denomination of Christianity came back to the Bible, the main denomination. It hasn't happened. D. James Kennedy, the great Presbyterian pastor, when I was having lunch with him one day, said, Daryl, this has never happened before in church history. With us, the Presbyterian USA went liberal. The PCA, Presbyterian Church of America, was the conservative inerrancy group. We had to break off from them because they made us irrelevant. The same thing happened with the Lutherans. The mainline denomination Lutherans went liberal. And then we see that Missouri Lutheran Synod broke off the conservatives. Well, when they were interviewing Adrian Rogers as one of the only three-time presidents in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention, they were interviewing him, they were saying, Adrian, the liberals, the moderates in the convention are saying that you have to get along with them and that you have to appoint them positions and that you have to play ball with them. And Adrian said, I don't have to play ball with them. I don't have to give them positions. The leadership doesn't work that way, he said. If they want to lead, then they can get out there, get elected, and they can lead. But now the convention's electing us, so we're going to lead. And then he went on to say this. He said, I don't have to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't have to be the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. He said, I don't even have to live, but I've got to stay true to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it. Amen? We should all have that heart. I don't care what they say about me on social media. I don't care what they say about me in this apostasy, God-forsaken, God-abandoning government and society we're in now. I don't have to be popular. We don't have to be popular. But we've got to please God. We've got to please God. And it's so sad seeing Christians cave in everywhere, everywhere. Look past this life. Look into eternity. The authority of God will not be mitigated. The authority of God will not be subjugated. The authority of God will stand. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we're to acquiesce to his will on earth and heaven. In Romans 12:12, the Apostle Paul said, 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then we see also in Romans 12, verse 12. If you'll turn there and look at that, Romans 12, 12. We see also the scriptures tell us this. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. And so we acquiesce to God's will. We want to do his will. We want to obey him. And how many of you, since we've been talking about this the last few weeks, have tried to take that posture to say, Lord, yes, Lord, tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Would you kind of raise your hands or acknowledge it somehow? Several, okay. I just want to encourage you to do that. Don't be afraid of his will. He's our Lord. He loves us. And he wants to give us an exciting, abundant life. Next, we see, ask for our needs and wants. He says in the passage that we're to ask for our daily bread. Half of this world, let's say 8 billion, 4 billion, are looking for food today for today. They're searching for food for today, today. They're working today for food for today. Daily bread. And right now, with the movements that are going on, what we see prophesied in Scripture and it's coming about, there are those that are designing a famine for us in the future to control us and to control our food and to control the population and to control humanity. And there may be a day soon where we're praying that. We can go home right now. We can open our cabinets. We can have choices. We go to the store. We have so many choices, we get confused. I can't believe how many different types of soft drinks there are now. It used to be Coca-Cola and maybe some Dr. Pepper and two or three things. You know, when we were doing electrical work in Memphis, we used to say, who's going to get the Cokes? And then what do you want? Well, I want a Dr. Pepper, or I want a Sprite, or whatever, a Tab, whatever. But all the choices we have, and he said, our daily bread. And so we need bread. We've got to live. We've got to eat. We need food. In fact, there's a scale of evangelism that says, if you're dealing with starving people who are exposed to the elements, and they don't have proper housing, and they don't have proper food, and they don't have medical, and they don't have potable, drinkable water, that you first have to deal with those things before you can really get into wholesale evangelism. Because when they're starving to death, when they're dying of thirst, when they're racked with pain from illness, they can't even concentrate on eternity. They're trying to just make it right now. And there's definitely a scale of evangelism that talks about that. Meet those needs, and along with it, share the gospel. That's one of the reasons Samaritan's Purse, if you look in their catalog, you don't just give shoe boxes. You can give a goat that gives milk. You can give seeds. You can give a water pump, you know, and meet those needs in that. So there's the needs, but then there's even the wants where God gives us the wants. And it's funny, it's so exciting how he provides even for our wants. Because of my heart issues, my wife, Kim, got me the Apple Watch because it does ECGs, EKGs. And so now I used to, when I was wondering if I was back in AFib, I'd have her put her ear on my little, on her little ear on my big heart and listen. And she'd say, I don't know, Daryl, doesn't sound quite right. I don't know, maybe, maybe not. And now I can just hold the button for 30 seconds and get an EKG. Well, the band, the wristband they gave with it, I hated. It was like a thorn in the flesh because it just came through with one little hole that went over a thing, and then the end of the bracelet stuck out. It kept hanging on things and falling off my wrist in daily life. I mean, I'd get out of the car, it'd hang on the door and fall on the ground. And so I prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't know where to go get one right now, but you know, if you can do something about this on this wristband. We have a member that comes to church about twice a year. And one of the times he was here recently, he was looking while I was speaking and waving my hands around, and he saw the band sticking out, and he had had that problem. And so he had gone and gotten two of these elastic bands. And so after the service, he didn't know I'd prayed and asked for one. And I didn't know he's going to show up. I never know when he's going to be here. And he comes up and he says, Pastor, I saw you've got that watch, the watch I've got. And he said, I saw that band. I hated that band. And I went and bought a couple of these. Can I give you this one? I said, absolutely. And so he took it off of his watch, put it on mine, and he answered a prayer. That wasn't a necessity. I did have a band on it. I didn't like the one they designed. But it was a want, and God answers that. And it's amazing how he does it. How many of you have had God do things like that for you? Raise your hands all over the place. And it's exciting to see when he provides and when he does these types of things for us. So we ask for our needs and our wants, and he's talking about our daily bread, and then above that. Next, we see that we accept his forgiveness. We see this in the passage where he says, and forgive us our debts, which is also our sins, our transgressions. Forgive us our debts. In James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Can accomplish much. Now, he doesn't say everything. It doesn't say you get all your prayers answered. Of course, and if you want to argue it philosophically, all of them are answered. It's either yes, later, or no. And so it's one of those three at least. And so we accept his forgiveness. We just had the Lord's Supper, and before that we had a moment of silence, and we asked the Lord to search our hearts. I hope you did. And I hope if he laid things on your heart, you're not too proud to not confess to him and agree with him and participate with his Holy Spirit working in your heart and life, working to cleanse you, to clear your conscience, to make you more effective. And so he talks about here us confessing our sins. And then it's linked, actually, not only that, but it's also linked to our forgiveness of others. Our forgiveness of others. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive our sins as we also forgive those who sinned against us. Are you a grudge bearer? Now, I have Irish background, and I know sometimes the Irish can really hold on to things. My family, I mean, Kim's more English family were quiet, there'd be an elephant in the room and they wouldn't even talk about it. What's that big thing eating peanuts in the corner? They wouldn't even talk about it. And then my Irish family, we'd get into it. In fact, we'd argue and verbally fight over things and go back and forth. My mom and dad, my brother and sister one time said, "Dad's like a grizzly bear sometimes." And they would just verbally argue. My dad said, "A man's no man who touches a woman." I did see him stick his fist in the side of the TV one time, but he never touched my mom. But they would argue, my brother and sister would, "Dad, you know, he's like a grizzly bear sometimes." And I said, "And mother is like a wolverine." I'd see her get right in his face and give it right back to him. And they'd argue about it. One time when we were there visiting, there was a big argument between the two of them. And then it was bedtime. Mother went upstairs to her bedroom and a winding staircase, two flights with a landing in the middle. Dad walking up the stairs backwards. "Why are you doing that?" "Because it's the only way I can walk up these stairs with my knees. My knees are so bad." He walks backwards all the way up, goes in mom's room and says, "I've got to give my Jenny a kiss goodnight," and kissed her. But do you hold on to grudges? I bet there's a lot of you right now, you are either thinking about or immediately you can bring to mind someone you're holding a grudge toward. Someone you've got hard feelings, all the way from hard feelings to hatred. And God wants you to forgive them. And you say, "Well, you don't know what they did to me." Well, I know what they did to the Lord Jesus, and He forgave them. One of the godliest women I've ever been around was Jo Bush at Gardens Baptist Church, at my first church, one of the senior ladies. And Joe would take Cliff Holsom of the chaplain for Calder Racetrack to dialysis because his wife couldn't drive that good. They were advanced in age. She took him several times a week for years. And I remember one time there was this, she got really cheated financially in a business thing. And her family was saying, "Sue him, sue him, sue him." And she's saying, "Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go to court. I'm not going to get tied up in all that emotionally. I'm just going to pray and ask God to convict their heart, but I'm going to forgive them." And I said, "Joe, that was so giant of you. That was so big. How are you able to do that?" And she said, "I know what I've done in my life, and Jesus has forgiven me, so I can forgive them." Are you willing to forgive people or hold on to grudges? Grudges eat at you. In fact, some of the most wicked people in the world have hurt and offended lots of people, and they sleep like a baby at night with their seared conscience, and they could care less about everybody they've hurt. And then all these hurt people are angry, bitter, vengeful, frustrated, and here's this wicked person sleeping like a baby. We need to forgive. Forgive those as we expect for God to forgive us. And then finally, apply His protection from sin and Satan. There's a lead and a deliver here. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And in the context of the Greek language, it's the evil one. Not just general evil out there, sin out there. Don't just deliver us from that. And isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus Himself, the God-man, in the model prayer, the instructional prayer, the illustration, that the Lord Jesus would actually include in it to tell God the Father not to lead us into temptation? I think that's a strange request. You'd think, well, no, He'll never do that. And of course, Scripture says God doesn't tempt us. He tempts no one. He's not tempted, and He tempts no one. He doesn't tempt us. But does He allow temptation in our life? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has asked me if he can sift you like wheat. And I just want you to know, and I picture the Lord Jesus reaching over, maybe grabbing Peter's wrist or putting his hand on his shoulder. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you that you won't fail. I thought, if I was Peter, I would have said, Lord Jesus, don't pray for me to not fail. Pray for Satan to leave me alone. Right? Pray for him to leave me alone, not to sift me as wheat. But he said, that's not what he said. He said, I pray that you won't fail. Temptation's a part of our growth, our maturity. Temptation is a part of our testing and responding to temptation, looking for the way of escape, looking for God to intervene. But the idea of even being protected from the evil one. And so we need to pray the word in our life. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, his response is in the temptation. The scripture has said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. And he thrust back with praying the word of God back to the enemy. So in your life, I want to encourage you to pray and to pray that God would lead us not into temptation. And then also that he would deliver us from evil and the evil one. Now, as I've studied spiritual warfare and us fighting against our enemy, God has given us weapons and tools, defensive tools and weapons, a weapon, the sword of the Spirit, to protect ourselves spiritually. Now, we are at such a disadvantage because our enemy is unseen. You can't see angels, typically. You can't see demons. And so when they're working on us in our heart and in our life and in our thoughts, they work on us in a way that we a lot of times don't discern. You will be thinking thoughts and you will think they're your thoughts because they're first person. Every person that's ever committed suicide probably heard these thoughts in their mind. I am no good. No one cares about me. I should just kill myself. And what they don't realize in virtually all of those times, those are not their thoughts. Those are demonic thoughts. Those are fallen angel thoughts. And they're putting them in first person in the human being they're talking to. No one loves me. I'm not worthy. That person didn't even discern or realize that's not emanating. It's the genesis of that is not in their own spirit. One of the prayers I've prayed, probably the most reoccurring in my life, has been to pray for God to put a hedge of protection around us, as we see in the Old Testament. The prayer of a hedge of protection, a fence around us. And then to take authority over spirits. He said he's given us that authority. From the smallest born-again Christian on the earth to the oldest, all of us have authority over spirits. And you should be praying that. I pray it for my grandchildren, our children, my family members. I pray it for you. Lord, please, Almighty God, take authority over any spirits assigned to my grandchildren and cast them into the pit of hell. We see that in Scripture as well in the Gospels. Take them out of the affairs of humanity. Don't let them leave my grandchildren and go to any other children. Don't let them leave my grandchildren and go to another family or someone else. Lord, please bind them, cast them into the pit of hell. And I believe all of us praying those prayers can help depopulate the ranks of our enemy. In war, military, a fortified position. They try and try and try and try, and they can't get it. There's a lot of times they go around it. And so I want to encourage you as we lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Pray a hedge of protection around your family. Take authority over spirits assigned against you and your family. I reject these thoughts, Lord. I recognize they're not mine. The spirit that's placed them there, dear God, cast them into the pit of hell. And protect yourselves. If someone was coming into your home, breaking into your home at night, I hope you would protect yourselves. I know we will. Kim and I will. I've got a .357 Magnum. If someone broke in and I held the gun on them and they said, "That's no good. I don't believe in .357 Magnums," I'd say, "Well, you're a fool. This is a cannon in the hand." I wouldn't lay it down and say, "Oh, they don't believe in it." Come on. Jesus said his word will continue on into eternity. No jot or tittle will pass away. We need to use his word. It's powerful, it's true, it's accurate. And it's the sword that he's given us. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. With your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I'd like to ask you, how many of you are certain of your relationship with Jesus Christ? How many of you are certain that Christ lives in your heart and life? Amen. I see some hands. If you're not certain, if you're not sure, if some of the things I've been saying to you are foreign to you, you've never had the Holy Spirit speaking to you and guiding you, you've not heard the voice of God speaking to your heart, you don't know what that exactly is. You thought it was just come and sing some songs and hear a sermon and those kind of things. And so I want to encourage you to just pray with me right now and just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive and cleanse me of my sins. And take control of me. Live in my heart and life. Be my Lord and Savior. Direct me and guide me. And thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen." We're going to stand and extend an invitation now, and want to ask you to do business with God this morning as he's speaking to your heart. And just do whatever he directs you. He may talk to you about coming forward to join our fellowship. He may talk to you about rededicating your life, following him in believer's baptism. However he speaks to your heart this morning, we want to encourage you to do business with him. Let's stand together and sing, and you come. I want to encourage you, as many of you are aware, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we receive a benevolent offering on the way out. So I want to encourage you to see our deacons and ushers on the way out if you'd like to contribute to our benevolence. And thank you and praise the Lord for you being here today. And let's go this week and just obey everything he directs us to do. Let's do whatever he tells us to do this week and see what happens. And it'll be a blessing for us. I'd like to see Sam Bruning when we're done. So God bless you. You're dismissed.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.